The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Those listening outside the great state of Wisconsin, I should inform you, yesterday was a partisan primary right here in our great state. So a little hangover today, little partisan primary hangover. But Dom, I am feeling great about the outcomes for the blue team and the constitutional amendments, these referendums, these efforts to hamstring the governor, make it harder to allocate federal funds in time of emergency need. Think pandemics. Well, they were defeated last night by the voters, Dom. The AP called this race at 9:11 p.m. The margin on both referendum questions defeated 58 to 42.
Wow.
And right-wing talk radio in the state of Wisconsin is in mourning.
Oh, and the Republican Party is in disarray.
They've lost their mojo, according to your girl, Vicky McKenna. And as I mentioned, her misery is my glee, so I'm feeling damn good today. Drinking up those conservative tears, they make me stronger. They make me better, Dom.
So good.
And here's the other interesting point. Earlier, and I think he might be done now, and don't worry, we're not going to force feed anyone any Trump broccoli today. There'll be no Trump.
No cheese, no broccoli.
No CJ.
Not today.
Not feeling too damn good today. But Trump did a little rally in Asheville, North Carolina. And my wife's going to spend some time in Asheville, Dom. She has affinity for that part of the nation.
Oh, it's a beautiful part of the country.
Western North Carolina. Very liberal part of the state, though. About 100,000, the population there, and Trump decided he was going to go speak there today at a rally that had a maximum capacity, according to the Asheville Citizen Times, a maximum capacity at the Thomas Wolfe Auditorium of 2,431 people.
Less than 2,500 people. Wow, big crowd.
As it was pointed out by exploreasheville.com, that's about a quarter of the capacity of the arena where Trump spoke in 2016. Trump had 25% of his prior crowd, max capacity. And during comments in Florida on Wednesday, that was earlier today, Trump continued to insist, you have the largest crowds. I have larger crowds than the Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris. We have the biggest crowds ever in the history of politics. The former president told reporters, apparently earlier today, Dom, we have crowds that nobody's ever seen before, and we continue to have that, and we have a level of enthusiasm that nobody's seen before.
You keep saying it, thinking, hoping, praying that it's true, just because you say it. Even if you say it with confidence, it doesn't make it factually, reality, true.
If you had Melania at home, understand he's judging enthusiasm on a sliding scale. Yeah, the people out there love
it's all
him.
Relative.
Relative to what he gets at home in the bedroom, I suspect, Dom. But I'm feeling damn good about today, Dom. And I'm feeling really good about this fine show because we got fine guests coming up. We are stacked. We've got Wisconsin 3rd Congressional CD candidate, the new Democratic nominee, Rebecca Cook. She's going to join us in like 15 minutes, Dom. 10 minutes. Rebecca Cook joining us about 4:20. And then Dr. Kristen Lierley, she is the candidate in Wisconsin's 8th CD, And I've also reached out to Peter Barca today. He ran unopposed in the first, and he is the first CD candidate. But here in the state of Wisconsin, we have three really good candidates with really good shots at winning congressional districts, competitive districts. The third, Rebecca Cook, 420. The eighth, Kristen Lyerly, coming at 430, and we'll have to get Peter on the board sometime soon. And he is in the first CD, south of Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha area. So we could have a changing, evolving, bluer congressional map. I mean, right now, we've got eight congressional districts in the state of Wisconsin. We've got two Democratic representatives. Mine, Mark Pocan, and Gwen Moore.
One more, yeah.
We need more. And so Trump's out there barnstorming in liberal Asheville, Western North Carolina, where he's at a max capacity of 2,400. And J.D. Vance is in Michigan today speaking to 200 plastic chairs, some of which are vacant. What
and
enthusiasm they have for that.
The Vice President Kamala Harris, now the Democratic nominee, or at least will be after next week. She's coming to Milwaukee next week, Tuesday, at the Pfizer Forum, which holds about 18,000 people for concerts. We'll see if she can pack it in.
I bet it will feel like a concert next Tuesday. I encourage all of you, if you are Dem supportive, if you've even given them $20 in the past, I bet you're going to get an invitation to go see Kamala in Milwaukee. I'm going to do my best to attend. We will bring you coverage as we're able, but we are bringing the week down the show, traveling to Chicago next week for the DNC. And Monday night, Dom, well, Monday night's Joe Biden's big night, the fond farewell for President Joe Biden. Honor, respect, and then turn the page. That's what I think the plan is.
Yeah.
But Tuesday, I think Kamala's being brilliant, involving Milwaukee in this DNC, bringing the party, 90 minutes away from the United Center in Chicago. So if I can make the drive and the timing works, I'll be there. But Tuesday, Kamala's bringing the party to Milwaukee while the DNC is going on in Chicago. And Tuesday night, we'll bring you all the fine coverage right here on Civic Media beginning at 7 o'clock. And then Wednesday, that's Vice President Walz's day at the DNC Dem. And then Thursday night, well, that's Kamala's night. And she will see the balloons drop, and we will bring you there. We will bring you all the coverage you need from Chicago next week right here on Civic Media on KTNF, 950 a.m. in Minneapolis, and on WCPT, 820 a.m. in the host city of Chicago. I've never felt so good to go to Chicago, Dom.
Yeah? Really?
Most of the time, it's in regards to legal weed, but, you know.
All right. Love Chicago. 844-967-2789. Let's get some callers in before our guest, Rebecca Cook from Wisconsin's 3rd CD, joins us at 420. Cindy from Appleton. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cindy.
Hello. Well, I hate to burst your bubble too much, but Tony Weed and Eric Hovde, the Trump-endorsed candidates, both won the primaries up in my area last night, which gives me a little pause because I was hoping that they would be defeated by big numbers.
You're in Outagamie County. But understand, yep, there wasn't a direct competition between a Democratic rival and Tony Weed. Kristen Lyerly, your candidate, the one that can represent you in Outagamie County in the 8th CD, she's joining us at 4:30 today. You're going to be incredibly impressed by Kristen Lyerly, but that wasn't a head-to-head matchup. And I would say, wait till this fall. I have never been so optimistic. If it was Mike Gallagher, I'd be having a different conversation. But the fact that Tony Weed, this Trump-endorsed extremist, who's got nothing going for him except the fact he's rich, if that's his claim to fame and all the extremism of Trump, and he's going to have to defend every crazy thing Trump says throughout the electoral cycle, and then you've got one of the most compelling Democrats I've ever met, you're going to have a new representative this fall. I think it's going to be Kristen Lyerly.
Well, I hope you're right. But like I said, I was kind of hoping that the Trump stuff had kind of fallen from grace, but apparently it hasn't. So,
well, Cindy, but again, though, you got Roth and you had Andre Jacques and you got Weed. I mean, these guys, especially Weed, first thing he says is Trump endorsed. Oh, everyone wants to be Trump. Everyone wants to be Trump up there. So Certainly the guy that Trump endorsed, Weed, he got it. He'll go against Lyerly. But it's not like Andre Jacques or Roth were not Trump supportive.
Cindy, let me give you a little encouragement. Eric Hudby got like 475,000 votes last night. Tammy Baldwin got closer to 600,000. Eric Hudby only got 84% of 86% of the Republican votes. Even if you added all of those votes on, and we know Charles Barbin, there were some mischievous people that texted me yesterday. I voted no on both, and then I crossed over and I voted for that Barbin guy. So you're welcome, Charles. Our fine audience threw a little weight and support behind the guy. But they're not going to turn around and vote for Hudby in the fall. And I would say this math favors the Democrats in a big way. And that is certainly a red-tilted district up there in Green Bay. But if candidates matter, you got more than a fighting chance than Kristen Lyerly. 844-967-2789. Our favorite passionate Wisco Paul. How you doing, Paulie?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, I'm doing really good. Especially, you guys helped push the no-no vote over the finish line, which is just totally awesome. And I'm feeling really good about that because that says a lot about where the state is. And Tammy's going to beat Hovey. It's just a, that's, she's probably going to beat him by 10 points. I want to say a little bit about Trump, listening to him and watching him. I hate to do that, but the man looks like he's circling the drain. Hey, I mean, he looks old. I mean, he's starting to look older than Joe Biden. So I don't even know if he's going to make it till election day, boys. He just does not look good. And
oh, he's a cockroach. He'll be fine, Wisco. Have no fear for Trump's health.
I don't want anything to happen to him because I want to see him get beat and beat like a drum because I think Harris is going to take him out big time. I mean, when I say that, she's going to win the election where he can't even say it was well, you'll say that anyway. It was stolen. So
Wisco, appreciate your call. Yeah, Trump's going to claim it was rigged and claim. I mean, he's claiming that Kamala Harris isn't drawing crowds. It's all AI. It's all fake. But you can go. You can see with your own eyes. Go to the Fiserv Forum next Tuesday. See the future president of the United States. Feel the enthusiasm in the room. And tell yourself whether your eyes are lying to you or whether maybe it's Trump. Folks, we're the Metal's Advocates. I've been in those rooms. I've been at those rock concert-like political rallies. It's the real deal. Rebecca Cook, she's the real deal in Wisconsin's third, the Democrats' choice. Last night, she joins us next. Stick around, more Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines, light them up, 844-967-2789.
Tom, we got a fine guest right now, though. She won a big primary in Wisconsin's 3rd CD. She is the Democratic representative running against Derek Van Orden, or Drunky Van Orden, as I like to call him. But Rebecca Cook, I'm not going to say you shocked the world last night because I was not shocked at all. We've met more than once. We've had you on the show a handful of times. I've been quite impressed by your candidacy. Again, congratulations. How's it feel to be the Democratic nominee?
Thank you. I've just been kind of on cloud nine today. I'm really, honestly, really humbled. And I'm really grateful. And I'm really motivated. I mean, we hit the ground running this morning. Today, you know, while we're saying, you know, goodbye to the primary and what that looks like, today is day one of the general election. So we have just got our nose to the grindstone, and we've got 82 days until election day. So we're already refocusing our sights on defeating Derek Van Orden.
And where do you see him as being vulnerable?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we've got the kitchen sink to really throw at him. And I think, you know, we've got, you know, like all campaigns do research teams, but he kind of has served that up on a platter many, many times, just his outbursts in Congress, being at the Stop the Steal rally, heckling the president during the State of the Union, The list really goes on, and I think that's only going to build. I think as the pressure of this campaign builds and his outburst and his temperament, it really comes down to his temperament. And I think that he lacks the temperament of what we're looking for here in Western Wisconsin. So it's his temperament, but then his policies are just so out of touch with like what working families here need and want. And so I think there's going to be a mix of things that we're going to be able to come at him with, but also just presenting an alternative to voters of like, look, you know, here's someone that you can vote for, like with me, that has lived a lot of the same experiences that you have, has walked a mile in your shoes, is going to be an real advocate for working families and not just lip service, which is very much what Derek Van Orden has done. So
Rebecca Cook, she is the Democratic nominee in the 3rd CD, state of Wisconsin. Rebecca, I contemplated maybe you had to lose one to win one, meaning I think you're a better candidate now than 2 years ago when you ran for the same seat.
Yeah.
And I think there's been a maturation of your campaign. What lessons have you learned and how are you doing it different?
You know, I think that there is like some confidence that you build, right, of doing something a second time. There's always things, mistakes that you make, things that you focus on that, you know, were not the right thing to focus on. And I've reflected a lot on that and what we did in 2022. But like, we also overperformed expectations in 2022. Nobody thought that I was going to perform and do as well as I did. And so what that really told me was like also leaning into who I am and like some of the authenticity that our campaign has always brought and really understanding and talking about issues that are relevant to the district. I mean, there's lots of things that you can talk about out on the campaign trail, democratic values, democratic issues, but I've always leaned hard into kitchen table issues, like the things I'm hearing about people, what's keeping them up at night, right? You know, knocking doors in Viroqua, I talked to this guy who's like, you know, I have a pretty good job. We're like a middle-class family, but I still feel like if something were to happen, like, you know, we got in a car accident, somebody got really sick, like, I don't know what we would do, right? Everybody feels like they're a little bit on the brink. You know, conversations I've had with folks like this woman, Megan, she's in one of my TV ads. She's a conservative, comes from a conservative community, but she's voting for me because of my stance for reproductive freedoms and that I don't want to be in a doctor's office making decisions for her and her family. And so, you know, I think that showing up and listening, leaning into that kind of stuff, and sharing those stories authentically, I think is important. And I think that this kind of rural working class message has really connected with people.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Rebecca Cook, Democrat, running for 3rd congressional district in the state of Wisconsin. Good to see you again, Rebecca. Congratulations. It was a competitive primary, although I'm not maybe indicated by the final result. And it got a little chippy. What's the process? What's it look like to bring all the Dems? All the Dems are going to be needed, and independents perhaps as well, to come together as a team to defeat Van Orden. What's that healing process look like to you, Rebecca?
I think it's incredibly important for all of us to bury the hatchet. And, you know, I think it's something that we talked about, frankly, throughout the campaign, that no matter what happened in a primary, those things can get messy sometimes, that we were all committed to coming together for unity to what really matters, which is flipping the seat. And so that commitment remains the same. And we have a unity tour that's launching tomorrow, starting in Stevens Point in Representative Shanklin's hometown, which she'll be at, as well as Eric Wilson, my other opponent. And we're all coming together for what we know is the right thing to do for families in Western Wisconsin. And so, you know, it starts with this tour, but there's so much more. I've been on the phone all day long talking to people throughout the district and throughout the state. And people that have supported at the national level as well. And just continuing to, I think, trumpet what the real things are here that people are concerned about and like keeping all eyes on this race, right? Because we're going to need the resources to be able to compete against somebody like Derek Van Orden, which he has a war chest as we're coming out of this primary.
Rebecca, I saw you tweeted out last night. You celebrated at the restaurant where you wait tables. I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful thing. I want to know what did it feel like to do that? Did you get a free beer and does that count as a campaign contribution?
Yeah, it was very funny. It was very surreal to be there. Like I was running dishes through the dishwasher and stuff. And like, because we were cleaning up, like my bosses just let me use the space. Like we didn't have restaurant food. We had some pizzas and just like beers and stuff that we brought in. But it was really surreal to be like, here I am like a farm kid, a waitress at this restaurant. And I'm now the Democratic nominee for Congress.
So, Rebecca. That means you're going to need some money and some volunteers. How can people get involved in the campaign?
Heck yeah. Go to Cook for Wisconsin, CookForWisconsin, all spelled out.com. So cookforwisconsin.com, there's a donate button on there. There's a contact us volunteer button on there as well. So we're going to need all hands on deck. This is going to be, we've got to be taking this all the way down to November, and we're going to need every hand in this district and beyond to help us.
So. Rebecca, Derek Van Orden hasn't shown a lot of courage up until now. Never debated Brad Path. Would you accept our invitation? We will host a debate on the airwaves, make it statewide all across the third. Would you show up if we also could get Derek Van Orden to do so?
Oh, yeah. Anytime, any place.
Well, we'll offer him a beer and maybe we'll trick him.
Yes.
Rebecca Cook, good luck. Congratulations to you. Very excited for your campaign. Very excited that you will soon be the congressperson from the 3rd CD. Let's make it happen.
Awesome. Appreciate it very much. Thanks so much to everybody.
Thank you, Rebecca, Cook. And fair audience, stick around. We got another congressional candidate. She is Dr. Kristen Lyerly, an OBGYN. She's running in the 8th CD. That's Green Bay, Wisconsin area. You're going to want to stick around. Very impressive candidates, very impressive Dems. That's what we bring you here. We say yes, Dom. Yes.
Today.
We're feeling damn good today. Yes is the word of the day.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, a partisan primary hangover edition. Want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, Rebecca Cook, running in Wisconsin's 3rd CD. Thank you, Rebecca. And Dom, we're joined by another fine guest live via stream. She is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She is the Democratic candidate in Wisconsin's 8th CD. That's the Green Bay area, the Door County area, up in those parts of the state. Dr. Lyerly, welcome back.
Thanks, guys. You know, we're from Niagara down to the bottom of Appleton. We're from Washington Island to Wittenberg. We're urban, we're rural. We got it all in the 8th CD.
It is a great part of the state. And I love going there. And Kristen, I'm very optimistic about your chances. And maybe you don't see all the tea leaves that I'm looking at, but if you'd asked me yesterday, were these referendums, these constitutional referendums, were they going to pass? I would have bet you money yesterday that they were going to pass, because they always pass. These low turnout, partisan primary sort of elections, that's exactly why the Republicans put it on the ballot on August 13th. But Tammy Baldwin got 600,000 votes and Huddy got 475,000 votes. Kristen, I think the tea leaves are all blue. I'm feeling great. How are you feeling now you've got an opponent?
I was feeling good before, but I'm feeling even better now. And we saw great turnout for the referendums up here. And you would think in the 8th CD, this was an important primary for our congressional districts, for our congressional district. We had three different folks who were running. So you would have thought that there would be a ton of Republican turnout, but the referendums did not do well up here. And that to me is an example of how fired up people are to save our democracy. They recognized how much this meant and how important it was to get out and vote, even though it was only a primary, even though in the past they might have just let this one go. No, they were not going to give up on it. And in fact, one of the wards in Green Bay ran out of ballots. Mm. And I am told they ran out of ballots because they had so many young women coming in to vote.
You're not saying, you're just saying.
I'm not saying, but that's what I've been told.
She's Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She is the Democratic nominee in the 8th CD, ran unopposed, but now she's got competition, the Trump-endorsed Tony Weed. And if you could have picked an opponent, I might have picked Andre Jacques for you for the contrast. He is such an extremist. But Weed's got his own extreme attitudes. How would you describe your opponent?
Well, here is how my opponent describes himself: Trump endorsed And that's really important to him because he puts it actually on the top of his yard signs. Before it even says his name, it says Trump endorsed. The other thing is he's a conservative and he is not a politician. He's an outsider. Well, so am I. I'm really curious to see how he is going to get beyond these three defining points that really have been the only things that he's talked about and start addressing some of the problems that Wisconsinites are asking for help with. They're concerned about the economy, number one. This is a guy who owned gas stations, sold his gas stations, and then went on a vacation for a year to think about what he wanted to do next. People in this district cannot understand that because they're struggling to put gas in their cars. They're struggling to put food on their tables. So he's out of touch with what people want to see, with the type of leader people are seeking. So we're going to see how he ends up defining himself, but I suspect that it's going to be very difficult for him.
Well, he self-funded in the primary to the tune of at least $500,000. I thought I had seen from his disclosures, and I don't know how much wealth he may have accumulated through selling off his gas stations or his daddy's gas stations. But do you fear the financial hurdle that you're going to go up against if this guy's got the Trump endorsement and he's got his own money? How do you compete financially against that, Kristen?
Mike, I'm so glad you asked that question because he might have a couple friends with deep pockets, but I have a whole heck of a lot of friends who are pitching in $40, $50. We've had over 35,000 individuals pitching in from across the country. We don't have very many big donors. This is all people wanting to step up, doing what they can, volunteering, putting yard signs in their yard, helping out with our social media. We have a real grassroots campaign here, and it couldn't be a greater contrast to Tony Weed's couple of rich friends kind of campaign.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 8th CD. Kristen, good to see you again. You know, the political efforts of defining your opponent on the issues. You talked about the economy a little bit and how you might contrast. I know you've been out talking to a lot of your constituents. There's lots of people that have lots of things to say, lots of concerns, lots of wants, lots of needs. What do you think the biggest contrasts are philosophically, politically between you and your opponent?
It, well, certainly, you know, I would lead with abortion. I mean, me being an OBGYN doctor who 100% supports my patients' right to choose their own pathway, their own healthcare decisions. Tony Weed is anti-abortion. When we talk about the economy, it's all talk on his side. I have ideas. It involves paid family leave. It involves childcare. It involves affordable, accessible healthcare. When we talk about the border, he's following the Trump line of mass deportations and all of these other things that we know, frankly, won't work. I want a secure border. I do want to stop the flow of drugs over the border. That is critical. And I mean, don't even get me started on the fentanyl crisis and the opioid crisis. As a physician, I see that. But we need a safe path, an efficient path to citizenship. And frankly, we need immigrants to help us out with our agriculture here in Wisconsin. We need immigrants to work in the meatpacking plants here in Northeast Wisconsin. We need immigrants to help us in the nursing homes and so many of these other jobs that are currently now unfilled. So there are solutions. We're talking about solutions. He's talking about problems. We're talking about hope and change. He's talking about fear and division.
Well, and you mentioned that. I'm glad you did. You know, a lot of the immigrant labor makes up the labor for the dairy industry. And you mentioned meatpacking. I mean, if there was a quote-unquote successful, effective mass deportation, you know, the cows would go unmilked, the meat would rot in the factories. I mean, it is, and I would imagine lots of these folks are employed by quote-unquote conservatives or Republican type of employees. That's just how it is. I grew up in Outagamie County, Kristen. I saw it for myself. Specifically, is there a path to citizenship? Is there a open workers' visas? Like, how can that be addressed? Because there's got to be some bipartisan effort, because everyone's going to need, you know, we need the labor, if nothing else, and it shouldn't be underground.
Dom, I did not know you were my homeboy because I grew up in Chicana. Yeah.
All right.
No, you're right. There is a solution. And in fact, there was a bipartisan deal that was put together by some of the most conservative and some of the most liberal members of Congress. They came together, they compromised, they figured out a path forward, and Trump squashed it. Donald Trump wanted this issue to be active so that he could use it. And it's the number one thing that he talks about when you listen to him, which is hard to do. He brings it up over and over and over again. There is a solution here. We can make this happen. We've just got to find the political courage to do it. And, you know, I would add one more thing. Tony Weed, as the owner of a chain of gas stations, did not use the E-Verify system. He did not ensure that his workers were actually documented. That was a choice. So I think that that's an important consideration for somebody who is so concerned about immigration.
Kristen Lierley, Tony Weed, your opponent. Do you anticipate there will be public debates, televised, broadcast on radio? Are you open for a debate? Will you challenge him to a debate? Could we host a debate right here on the Devil's Advocates for you? How could we help in this regard?
Yes, yes, and yes. I would absolutely love to debate Tony Weed. We need to know. The people of Northeast Wisconsin need to know where he stands on critical issues. There are so many problems that need to be solved, and they have gone unsolved. This last Congress has been the least effective Congress in decades, if not ever. And people are desperate for solutions. So bring us questions. Have us answer your questions. Make sure you know where we stand. This is how democracy works. Whether it's Tony Weed or any other candidate, you deserve to know who you are voting for. Not just whether they have a D or an R by their name, but what do they actually stand for?
Well, here's a question for you and perhaps for Weed as well. Top of the ticket, you've got Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, and you're running as a Democrat, and they're going to be in Milwaukee on Tuesday. The DNC's this upcoming week. Obviously, Tony Weed is Trump endorsed. Are you going to have to answer questions every time Harris makes a statement? Are you subject to defending her record? And should Tony Weed be subject to defending Trump's many, many statements between now and Election Day?
I am a Democrat, and I do support Vice President Harris and Governor Walz, but I don't have to defend their record. They have their own campaign. I have my own campaign. Tony Weed is so closely linked to former President Trump, but I think it's really impossible for him to unlink. When you hear him talk about his campaign, he leads with, "I am the Trump endorsed candidate." And it's almost become a joke up here in the Green Bay area because it all goes together. Tony Weed, the Trump endorsed candidate. So it's impossible for him to separate himself from former President Trump. Whereas I get to work together with Democrats who have different ideas. You know, I'm working with lots of the folks in the state and assembly candidates and Senate candidates who are talking to people in Wittenberg and Shawano and Algoma. We were just in Algoma the other night. It is so cool to hear their takes on things and how they foresee solving these problems. That is the beauty of democracy. Everybody doesn't have the same idea. You don't agree with everybody on everything, but you do come together and you have discourse and you solve problems and you compromise and you figure it out. It used to work that way in our government before we became so divided. We're going to bring it back together again.
Kristen, sort of a unique part of the demographic in Brown County, high Latino population. You talked about the mass deportations proposed by Trump and endorsed by Tony Weed. How do you outreach to Latinos and how can you get them involved in your campaign? And what do you think your support is right now in the greater Green Bay Latino community?
I think it's strong and we're continuing to grow that support. I am involved with a number of nonprofits. I have a number of friends from the Latino community. We are going to continue to focus on how we can elevate them, address their issues, and just make sure that we're solving problems as a full community. I think this is a group of folks who have been underrepresented. And as the population continues to grow, they have a greater and greater voice. We have no representation in Brown County or on the city council here in Green Bay, no Latino representation. So that's something that I've been working on as well. I know we're going to get there. It won't be long. Stay tuned. But yeah, this is a population that 17% of Brown County is Latino, is Hispanic. So we're going to get there.
And Dr. Kristen Lierley, I'm not going to say you're running a broke-ass campaign because I know you've got lots of grassroots support. But you're running against a rich guy and you're going to need probably more support here in the general. How can people get involved in your campaign, give you money or volunteer? How do they get involved?
KristenForWisconsin.com. There's a link there to donate. All our social media stuff is there. You can volunteer, get a yard sign. And might I add, Mike, that once I am elected in November, I will be the third woman from Wisconsin to serve in Washington, D.C. The third. And then Rebecca Cook will be right behind me, number four.
That's excellent. We look forward to both you and Rebecca joining the Wisconsin Congressional delegation. I am so sick of all these Republicans. They do not represent us. Kristen Lyerly, you're a little closer to what I would see as good representation. I wish I had a vote in the 8th. Kristen, again, thank you so much. Where's the first campaign step? Where are you going first?
Howard, in about 2 minutes.
We'll let you go then. Thank you so much for the time you made for us. Again, congratulations. I know you ran unopposed, but now you got an opponent, Tony Weed. Go whoop his ass. Thank you, Dr. Lyerly.
You got it, brother. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Kristen.
Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. I play favorites around here. She's one of mine. Come back. You can be my favorite. Dial us, 844-967-2789. More Devil's Advocates.
It's times like these you give and give again. It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these, time and time again.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines. We appreciate you being patient. We'll get there shortly. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, one of my favorite congresspeople to be. She's Dr. Kristen Lyerly, an OBGYN from the Green Bay area, running in the 8CD. Support her if you can. I think she will do a fine job in Congress. I can't wait, Dom. I can see Cook winning her race. I can see Kristen Lyerly winning her race. I can see Peter Barca theoretically winning the first CD. That'd be a big shift. Could you see going from two congresspeople in the blue team to five in a state where we have eight congresspeople? Marginalize them down to Growthy Growthman and Toxic Tom and
Fitzgerald.
And Fitzgerald. You know, the deepest, reddest parts of the state and all the gerrymandering benefit they have, it would be very hard to turn those districts. But we will continue to introduce you to the Democratic alternatives, Dom, because, you know, you never know
what could happen
in a race like this. J.D. Vance, what weird thing has J.D. Vance said lately?
Oh, God. Is there a website?
There should be. Right. He did a podcast. Our friends at Heartland Signal, they're the owners of WCPT 820 AM. We're going to do some broadcasting for them next week at the DNC. Hope you all tune in right here. Whatever your normal station is, we'll be playing there. But new audio reveals J.D. Vance's view on the whole purpose of postmenopausal females.
Oh, there's one whole purpose. Interesting.
New
Please
audio.
Edify me.
According to the Raw story, Dom, and this again, originally sourced from Heartland Signal, new audio reveals what Donald Trump's running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, Republican from Ohio, said he believes is the lone purpose of women who no longer ovulate. The political news station Heartland Signal took to Twitter Wednesday to share a podcast interview from April of 2020 in which Vance discussed the role his mother-in-law played in raising his son. It makes him a much better human being to have exposure to his grandparents, Vance said. Now, the host, Eric Weinstein, of The Portal, said the whole purpose of the postmenopausal female. Now, the host said that. And then J.D. Vance said, yes.
Yes.
He agreed with that sentiment, Dom. Now, the pair continued to discuss what the podcaster described as the weird, unadvertised feature of marrying an Indian woman. Here's it gets a little stranger. listen, because his mother-in-law is a very talented woman in her own regard. Vance explains how Lakshma Chilakuri, mother of his wife Usha, is a professor of molecular biology, and she took a year-long sabbatical from teaching to help her daughter take care of J.D. Vance's baby. And I would ask, what was J.D. Vance doing? Just being the man of the house? That is what you do, Vance said. Apparently talking about his mother-in-law, the molecular biologist who took a year sabbatical. Weinstein clarified this again, the podcaster. A biology professor, PhD, drops what they're doing to immediately tend to the needs of a new mother with her infant? Vance confirmed that characterization was correct and described the decision as not physically efficient, arguing a college professor would have had the disposable income to send her daughter money for childcare, but it was worth it. That is the thing that hyper-liberalized economics wants you to do, Vance said. The economic logic of always prioritizing paid wage labor over other ways of contributing to society. It's actually a consequence of a sort of fundamental liberalism that's ultimately going to unwind and collapse upon itself.
Oh, my God.
The fact that he thinks his mother-in-law, the molecular biologist, teaching other molecular biologists the more important role for her to contribute is to watch J.D. Vance's kid. Not J.D. Vance's role as the father to contribute to the household, but his mother-in-law's role. Now, Vance has repeatedly dubbed childless Americans as sociopaths, mocked single women as cat ladies, and managed to outrage the Pokemon fan community by admitting he told his son to shut the hell up about one of the characters. Responded former prosecutor and political commenter Andrew Weissman on Wednesday. It just gets worse. It just gets worse. They're just weird.
Weirder, right? It just gets more weird. And you know, if you have the ability, and my mother-in-law was around a lot. We lived across the street, seven houses
down. I met your mother-in-law.
I know. She's awesome. And she took the kids a lot when they were young. We'd send them out the front door with their little suitcases. They'd walk down the sidewalk and into Emma's house. We'd wait.
Literally down the street. She lived on the same street. How convenient.
But to think that that's her. This is while she was working. You know what I mean? When she retired, I thought, hell, she'll take the kids all the time. Well, I saw her less when she retired. But what, to say that that's her only role in life is to care for my kids? Yeah. Man, this guy is weird.
Dom, as near as I can tell, you barely saw that as part of your role in life.
The kids are better for it.
Truly, they are. It's a thoughtful notion. The less I am involved in my children's life, the better they are for it. That's probably true of both of us. Come back with it. I just found out my son going to college at our alma mater. He's going to live in the same dorm I lived in.
Which was?
Sanford.
Sanford.
He's going into Sanford. Good times, fella. Good times.
Is it the same building? They tore Reuter down to rebuild.
No, it's the same Sanford. I was in room 315, like on the short wing. Yeah. You know, you could smoke down on that end of the wing.
The good old days.
The good old days. Come back with us. Nothing but the good old days right here. I'm feeling yes and good. And it's a happier happy hour. We're rolling into it. Bill Press is next.